Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.
So if my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my needs. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Of every good and perfect gift comes from the Father who
I... Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Lifeline Broadcast, hosted by Apostle Shirley Jones. She is the senior pastor of Rehoboth Family Life Center, and we are located at 17900 Queen Anne Road, Upper Marlboro, Maryland, 20774. Service on Sunday is at 10 a.m., and we would be honored to have you come out to worship and fellowship with us. We are indeed being blessed by the Lord every Sunday. We have Bible study via teleconference every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. The dial-in number is 712-432-3100. The access code is 386-279. Apostle Jones's book, Lifeline, When God Speaks, Volumes 1 and 2, can be purchased at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and any place books are sold. You can also send your request to www.shirleyjjones.com. To purchase the books along with the worship CD birthed during her time sitting before the Lord. Lifeline, When God Speaks, is a book of encouraging words that God gave for her life and now she shares to encourage you in your journey. So be sure to get a copy. Apostle Jones can be reached via email at apostlesjones@rehobothflc.org or by phone at 1-877-354-6082. She would love to hear from you. Remember, the broadcast is the first Monday of each month. Get the word out. Now, to Lifeline Broadcast with Apostle Shirley Jones.
Well, good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining me tonight for the Lifeline Broadcast. To God be all the glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I pray that everyone has had a wonderful day and trusting God for the rest of our days and our rest of our days and the rest of our days. Amen and amen. Well, as always, I am just so honored and glad to be a part of this network, When Christians Speak Talk Radio Show. This network is doing the work of kingdom building throughout the world. And we are in a time where the gospel must be preached to give hope and encouragement. I pray that the work of this network continues to be about kingdom building. To God be the glory. Amen and amen. Before I get into the teaching or the message tonight, I want to extend an invitation to everyone to join us on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time for Rehoboth Family Life Center's worship service via Facebook Live or our teleconferencing number, which is 712-775-8972, and the access code is 386279. And now we're doing our Tuesday night Bible study, which is at 8 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and now we're doing that via Zoom audio. So you can go to our Facebook page, the church's Facebook page, and get the actual information for that as well. So why don't you just go ahead and invite your family and friends to join us on Sunday morning, where God is just blessing us and giving us a word of life and word of encouragement. You know, this is such a awesome time to evangelize and share the good news of the gospel. So we're going to go ahead and jump into the message for tonight. I thank God for each one of you that have pressed your way and to come to the broadcast tonight. To God be the glory. So, Father God, we just bless you. God, and we honor you tonight, Lord. We thank you for your loving kindness, oh God, and your tender mercies. God, we thank you that you're God, and beside thee, Father, there is none other. Father, we thank you and we bless you. I pray that, God, that you would bless these, your people. I pray that, God, that you would give them a listening ear, that they may hear what you have to say tonight and that they may be encouraged. So we thank you tonight. I pray that, God, that you would speak out of these clay lips. I pray that, God, that there is something that you have to say, and I pray that, God, that I am your vessel willing, God, to be used by you tonight. So I say, speak to your people. Speak to me, God. Bless me tonight, Lord God, as we sup around your word, and we'll forever be grateful to you, forever grateful to you, forever grateful to you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Well, I thank God for, like I mentioned in my opening remarks, that I thank God for just being a part of this network and having the opportunity to come before you tonight. And I pray that tonight that you and your family are well. We're in very trying times, but nonetheless, God still remains God. And so what I want to do tonight is, and I have been talking and preaching and teaching and preaching and delivering the word around the subject matter of stay the course. And God has allowed us to do this on Sunday morning. I just did part three on yesterday, and so I'm led in my spirit to share parts of the message that we have been doing on Sunday over the last 3 weeks, and that stay the course. You know, we are all at a time and space that we have never been before. And the longer we are here, the more distractions, anxiety, fear, and our desire for the familiar pulls at us. It's not easy, by no means, but we must stay the course. So what is the course? The course is the things that you have been doing that has enabled you to be victorious during this time. Instructions and wisdom from God. Do not allow circumstances and the enemy to cause you to jump ship and do what you see other people doing or saying. I am telling you tonight, stay the course that has been set for you. There are a lot of things, ideas, and theories swirling around in the earth, but remember that we must stay on course regardless. We must stay on course regardless. So what happens? What happens? Let's talk a little bit about this. What happens when we don't stay the course? We make life harder than need be, and we lose all that we have gained. Just think about it. Think about it. Think about all that you have gained even during these trying times. But God has done some marvelous things with us. God has shown us things about ourselves. God has shown us things about our family, our marriages, our children, our jobs, and even our attitudes. God is also showing us some treasures that have been buried deep inside of us, causing us to move into some areas that we've never had to do before. But nonetheless, God has been faithful. And so it's so imperative that we stay the course. When we don't stay the course, we make life harder and we lose some ground that we have gained. Prime example, let's talk about King Saul. Remember, King Saul was anointed king by the prophet Samuel, and because he did not stay the course, he is such a prime example, he did not stay the course and he lost his kingship because he did not do what he was told to do. And he moved off out of his lane, he moved out of his purpose, and he moved out of his destiny. Over in 1 Samuel, let's go there, 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 8. And remember in the scripture that it was Samuel that anointed him to be king. And right after he anointed him, this is what he said to him. He said, "And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal. And behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shall thy tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thy shall do." He gave him specific instructions. He says, now that I have anointed you king, he said, there are some other things that I need to show you what to do and how to do it. He says, so meet me in Gilgal. And he says, I will be there I will be there in 7 days. He says, tarry there, wait for me, and I will show you what to do. So what happens? We know the story that the minute Samuel didn't show up. Now let me stop here. I want to stop here real quick, because what happens is a lot of times when things don't happen when we think that it's supposed to happen, then we go and try to make it happen. Here was Saul was giving instructions by Samuel to wait 7 days. And it was on the seventh day where now that they're about to go into war. And Saul is he's afraid. He doesn't know what to do. The people are complaining. The people are coming up against him. And he feels threatened. He feels pressured. He feels afraid. He feels a lot of emotions that got in his way. And so what did he decide to do? He decided that he needed to go before God. And because Samuel wasn't there yet, that he decided that he was going to offer burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. Now, he was a king. He was not a priest, nor was he a prophet. So what did Saul do? He stepped out of his lane, and we have to be very careful that we stay in our lane. By staying in the course, you stay in your lane. And the Bible says that as soon as, that was the word, as soon as Samuel showed up, it was right after Saul had made the sacrifices before God. And Samuel says to him, what are you doing? What have you done? And he says, but you didn't come, and I didn't know what to do. And he was afraid. He was afraid of what the people were going to do. He didn't know what the enemy was going to do. And so he jumped out of his lane. And Samuel says to him, but you're not a prophet. You're not a priest. You were told to wait. And see, it was right. He said, as soon as. So I believe it was on the seventh day, but it was not the end of the seventh day. It might have been at noon. It might have been at 8 o'clock in the morning, but Samuel didn't come yet. But he told him, he said, tarry. You got to tarry. Tarry for 7 days, complete 7 days. And that's not what he did. He allowed his emotions. He allowed people to get in the way. He got antsy. He was fearful, and he took on the fear of the people. So we have to be very careful during this time that because we may feel like we become anxious, we become antsy, we become fearful, that you know, we've been in this thing for a little while, probably longer than we thought we would be. You know, the first month or two, we were like, okay, this is not a good situation, but okay, I'm going to hang tough. But now we've been in here about, 5 months, almost going on 6 months, that we've been in this situation. And so now it's like we're getting antsy, we're getting fearful, we're getting doubtful, and we just want to do something different. But that is a mistake, and that is a trick of the enemy, that right now you have got to stay the course. Because if you do not, let me say this, if you do not stay the course, you have not followed the wisdom and the directions of God, that you are going to lose. You're always going to lose when you jump ship, when you decide now that you want to do what you think is right. Over in Proverbs 16:25, it says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We do not know it like God. This is a time where we got almost put on blinders, and we have to follow the wisdom and the instructions of God, so that we can be all that he's called us to be. Another person, let's look at Moses. Moses was another example of someone who did not stay the course. Moses did not make it into the promised land because he did not stay the course. He was given instructions by God. He said, take this stick and this rod, and I want you to speak to the rock. He said, speak to the rock. And Moses is, by now, he has had it with the people. He is ticked off with the people. And not only did he not speak to the rock, he struck the rock twice. He struck the rock twice. And God said, because you did not stay the course, I'm paraphrasing that part. He said, but because you did not do what I asked you to do, Moses, you are not going into the promised land. I would allow you to see it, but you will not go in because you were disobedient to my instructions. Because now it looks like you you are able to make things happen, you get the glory, Moses, and I will share my glory with no man. And so because Moses disobeyed God, he did not stay the course. He was all the things that Moses had done, you know, and Moses is my boy. You know, I'll be like, oh, man, that was like God, all that Moses did, all that Moses took from those people, and he just struck the rock because he was mad. But God said, no, I can't trust you anymore, Moses. And because of that, you're not going. You will see it, but now the mantle that you have to carry the people will now go on Joshua. So we have to be very careful during this time that we don't give wind to our emotions. We don't give wind to the theories that are swirling in the earth. We don't give wind to what somebody else is doing or what somebody else is saying. But what has God told you? What are some of the things that God has appropriated to you that has allowed you to be victorious during this time? These are the things that you have to hold dear to. These are the things that you have to continually do and not all of a sudden throw caution to the wind. And that's what's happening. One of the reasons why our numbers in so many places are going up because people are not being obedient to the directions. People are having gatherings in large numbers. People are not wearing masks. People are not doing social distancing. And I understand that that's a hard place because people, it's summertime and people want to be around people and people want to be having some events and doing some things. But the virus is still alive and people are still dying, y'all. Come on now, come on. People are still dying. And we have to be very careful that we don't just throw caution to the wind and still follow the instructions that we have been given, not only for ourselves, but for the benefit of somebody else. So how do we stay the course? How do we stay the course? Over in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 7 to 8, it says, "For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose." And this is the word that Isaiah was given to the Israelites. Here they were in battle, and they were looking for some help, and they were trying to get the Egyptians to help them. And he told them, he said, "The Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still." This is the word that God gave to Isaiah to give to the people. "Their strength is to sit still. Now go write it before them in a tablet and note in a book that it may be for the time to come forever and ever." Right here, solid instructions. Their strength is to sit still. When you are starting to feel weary, when you are starting to feel anxious, when you're starting to feel doubtful, when you're just tired, the instructions that he gave them is the instruction that he's giving to us, that their strength is to sit still. Sometimes when you're going through those emotions, you got to get in a quiet place with God. You got to get in a place because your strength is in sitting still. Your strength is not going hither and thither and trying to make something happen. But he said that write it down because it's for the time to come and forever and ever. Well, guess what? Forever and ever is now. We're in the forever and ever is now. So the instructions that he gave them then are the instructions that we can hang our hat on and know that it's going to work. We have got to find us a quiet space when we start to get antsy, and it's not to try to make anything happen because you will be out of the will of God. You will be in the path of the enemy, that every time that we try to take a shortcut or do something different, and I shared the example of shortcuts, and shortcuts is always a trick of the enemy to try to get us off course. I remember early on I would take these walks in the morning with the Lord, and he would be directing me of where I needed to go for the day and what path I needed to take. And I would go sometimes to a football field, and I would sit in the bleachers. So he had me directed, and I would sit on the top part of the bleacher. It was like a high school, and I would sit in the top of the bleachers, and I could feel the sun shining on me, and there were even times when I would sit when it had just snowed. And I remember this particular day I was on my way to the football field to sit in the bleachers. And I was walking down the street, the path that he had directed, and I had gone this way before. And out of the periphery of my eye, I saw this side street that led to the football field that was a shorter walk. And I said, oh, well, I said, I never saw that before. I said, let me go down. I'll get there quicker. And the minute that I turned down this side street, there was a dog that came from behind a gate and started yapping at me, trying to bite me. And I was able to, I just started pleading the blood on the dog, like, in the name of Jesus. And I was able to back up and back out of the street. But one of the things that the Lord said to me, he said, every time, Shirley, that you don't stay the course, that you get off the route that I have mapped out for you, always know that the enemy is waiting to attack you. And so we have to be very, very aware and very conscious that we stay the course, stay the way that God has directed you to do. It may look easier. It may look shorter. It may look a lot of things. But if it's not the way God has directed you, then it will turn into a disaster. It will turn into a place where the enemy will try to wreak havoc with you. So we've got to be able to stand and trust God. When we start to move out of our emotions will take us down roads of disaster. Our emotions will take us in the places where the enemy is waiting for us to step out and to get off course. And so he's waiting to wreak havoc in our lives. But the word tells us that the strength is to sit still. Come on, y'all. Come on. Come on. And I know it's summertime. Hey, I want to get to the beach. You know, I'm trying to find a way that I can get to the beach where ain't a whole bunch of people hanging around. You know, I want to take some trips, but I know I can't right now. I know I can't. So what I do is I do small things like I love now going and having breakfast or dinner on my deck, sitting out there and looking at the clouds and seeing the formations of the clouds and how they're moving. You got to find something that will satisfy you that's safe and not trying to go out doing things that are detrimental for you and your family. Because remember, if you have a family or friends and you're with people and then you come back and here you are infected, and then it spreads to your family. Come on, we don't want to do that. Come on, y'all, come on. We got to stay the course during this time. I was listening to an interview, actually, with Pastor Stephen Furtick. He's a pastor down in Charlotte. And one of the things that he said that I thought was just so profound, especially during his time, he says that faith does not get rid of fatigue, but it gives you a seat to sit down and rest. There we go again, that sit still. He says, faith does not get rid of fatigue, but it gives you a seat to sit down and rest. Hallelujah. Imagine this, faith, here I am going through, but my faith tells me that everything gonna be all right. My faith tells me that my God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think. My faith tells me that everything gonna be all right. My faith tells me that even in this, God still remains God. And so my faith quiets me down. It sits me down. It allows me to rest. It allows me to be strengthened. That's what faith does. It doesn't get rid of the fatigue. It just gives you a resting place to sit until you are strengthened again to be able to go out and do what God has called you to do. Oh, glory to God. One of the things he said also of how to stay the course, he said all the things that you have learned during this time is, he says, there are lessons that you've learned. There are things that you have acquired. He says, keep those things handy and continue to put in practice what you have learned. It's so important. Now, there are valuable lessons, valuable words of life, words of wisdom that God has given us. He says that they have to become a practicum. They have to be what you do, not just what you say, but it's what you have to do. He said, remember Joseph learned a lot of things along the road until he got to the palace for that last time. but everything that Joseph learned, even in the hard places. Hear me now, because some lessons are not when you're going to learn them when the sun is out. Some lessons you're going to learn when it's dark and in a cave or in a valley. But those are lessons that you'll come out with that are just for you. Here was Joseph. Joseph was in the prison. Joseph learned the culture of the people. He was not an Egyptian, but here he was going to become ruler, second in command to the king. But while he was in prison, he got the favor of God. He saw the favor. Even in a prison, he had favor. He learned the culture of the people. He saw how at the appointed time that God was able to rescue him and put him in a position where he could tell Pharaoh about his dream, and then he became second in command. But now he's command over the Egyptian. But he learned some lessons along the way that now that he could use. There are lessons that you have learned, believe me, in this last 4 or 5, almost 6 months, you have learned some things that God is saying that there are lessons I've taught you, there are things I've shown you, even about yourself, that will help you as you go forward. So how do I stay the course? I keep doing the things that God has told me. I keep doing the things that God has shown me, and I don't get thrown off. But the length of time that we're here, I don't get thrown off by the theories that are swirling around in the earth, because a lot of people are saying a lot of things, and they are still trying to get a handle on the actual characteristics of what is going on. But we serve a God that knows all things. God knows the length and the breadth and the direction of all things. And so if we just stay put and we listen to God, stay the course, then we will come out of this thing victorious. Oh, glory to God. So what are some of the benefits of staying the course? There are benefits in staying the course. And we look at Ruth and Naomi. We remember the story. Here was Ruth and Naomi and Oprah. Here they were married to Naomi's two sons who died, and then her husband died. Naomi's husband died, and then the sons died, and here she was left with just her daughter-in-law. And she got to a place now that she's hearing that she can go back to her home now because the famine had lifted in Bethlehem. And so she was going back, and she was saying to her daughters-in-law that, you know, they could go back to their home where they were from, idolatry country. And she said, you can go back because I'm an old woman and I don't have any more sons and I can't have any more babies. And even if I did, by the time they're grown to marry you, that you would be old too. So she is instructing them to go back to their people. So over in the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 15 to 19, And this is what she says. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is going back. See, Oprah decided to go back. She says, I am not willing to embrace the unfamiliar. I need to go back to my hometown that I know everybody. I know what they do. I could go back and find me a husband, have some babies, and I could still live the life that I know. And see, we have to be very careful. Hear me now. That in this time, we have to be very careful that we're so longing for something that's familiar that we'll start doing things that we're looking for to produce familiar. But trust me, we're in a time now that nothing is familiar. All the familiar stuff is over there, and I can say this: I don't believe that we will ever go back to some stuff. So be very careful that you're not longing for the familiar, where you abandon all the things that God is saying for you to stay the course. There are benefits in staying the course. And she said to them, behold, thy sister-in-law is going back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thy lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thy diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. Oh, glory to God. Here was Ruth who decided, I'm going to stay the course. I don't know about her people. I've never been to Bethlehem, but there was something that she saw in Naomi. She probably heard her praying and how she prayed and how she trusted God in the midst of all the things that were coming against their lives. But she said, but I know what's back there. I don't want to go back to that. I want something different. I feel like I was born to be with this woman, and I want to stay here and see what this is going to produce. And so she goes back with Naomi. She marries Boaz, and she now becomes the great-grandmother of King David. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are benefits. Hear me now. There are benefits in staying the course. So I ask you this morning, this evening rather, what awaits you? What awaits you as you are staying the course? There are things that will come into your life. Remember now, the course for your life has already been mapped out, and as you listen and obey instructions, destiny and purpose will kiss. Oh, hallelujah. I love that one. Yeah, hallelujah. Destiny and purpose will kiss when you follow the instructions of something that's already, that your life has already been mapped out. My life has already been mapped out. God knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb, our paths and our lives, and everything has already been mapped out. And when we stay the course, we are allowing God, hallelujah, to lead and guide us into the path in which he has mapped, and he the only one that knows what it should look like and how we're going to get to where we're supposed to be. Oh, glory to God. So we have to remember that if we stay the course, that we will intercept all that God has for us. I am so glad that this portion of my life was not in Philly. It was here. So if I had stayed in Philly, I would have never been able to embrace and to become the preacher, the pastor, the apostle, the author, all the things that God has did in my life, and not only for my life, but for both of my sons' life. Both of my sons that are married met their wives when they came here. And what's so interesting about my oldest son, his wife is from Philly. They never intercepted. We only lived a couple blocks from where she lived, but they were never supposed to meet until they met here. I'm talking about the timing of God. Here, my son was from Philly to the military. He was living in Atlanta. He came here, and they met here. She's from Philly. He's from Philly. But at the appointed time, God allowed their paths to cross. See, some things, you got to stay the course so that you will intercept the very will and plan of God. Oh, glory to God. My youngest son met his wife at college. Here he chose the college, and the college was able to give him a ride, and he met her. He would have never met her had we stayed in Philly where she was. But God had a plan, not for just my life. Let me say this, that when you say the course, it does not just affect you, but it affects the people that is attached to your life as well. I am so glad this night that I would have missed it had I stayed out of the fear of the unknown. When God directed me here, I didn't know anything about this area. I had no friends. I had no family. I had nothing down here. But I had the grace of God upon my life. I had the instructions of God that this is where I was supposed to be. But I am so glad tonight that my trust and my faith in God outweighed my fear of the unknown. See, that's where we got to be. When you're staying the course, you're like, I don't understand it. I may not understand how this thing is going to work in my favor, but the thing that I do know, that God loves me. God tells me that all things work together for the good. God tells me that he would never leave me, nor would he ever forsake me. So then I am going to stay the course, and I'm going to let him hold my hand. Oh, glory, because he's going to walk me through this thing. And when I come out, I'll come out better than I was had I stayed at the old place. Oh, glory to God. Some of you right now, God has already mapped out some wonderful, beautiful things for you, but you got to stay the course. You got to stay the course because there are benefits in staying the course. Remember, the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is over in Daniel chapter 3, verse 17 to 18. And then I'm going to jump down to 28 and 30. Matter of fact, I'm going to just cut into the story. We all know the story about them, how there was a decree that went forth, and it said that if they did not pray or bow to the idol gods, that they were going to be thrown in the furnace. But here they had a relationship with God. They knew that God was able to do anything and everything but fail. So what did they say? They said that, you know, we know that our God is able. And even if he don't come rescue us, we're not going to serve your God. They stayed the course. Come on now. Because sometimes staying that course is not easy. Sometimes it's going to try you. Sometimes it's going to come and try to scare you and put fear in you that you don't need to stay there. But these boys, they were grounded and rooted, and they said, but no, we're not going to serve your God. Even if he don't come get us, we're not going to serve your God. But we know how the story goes, that they throw them in the furnace. And then the king looks in, and he says, wow. He said, I know we throw in three. He said, but there's a fourth one walking around, and he looks like the Son of God. Oh, glory to God. They came out of the furnace. They did not smell a smoke. Their clothes was not burnt. And then there was a decree that the king put out. And this is what he said. He said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have sent his angel and delivered his servants that trust in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore have I made a decree that every people, nation, and language would speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Oh, glory to God. There was promotions. And the word the Lord gave me, he said, tell the people that there are promotions when we stay the course. And I'm not just talking about promotions as far as jobs. Yes, if you look around, even with devastation, people are still getting new jobs. People are having babies. People are getting married. There's a lot of things that God is doing. God says that even during this time that there will be promotions that will come forth. I will promote as far as jobs and houses and relationships and marriage and babies and finances. There is a promotion, and a promotion is an advancement. Advancement. God's going to take you to another place, another level, another realm, another dimension in him as we stay the course, y'all. Come on now. There are promotions. You do not want to miss your acceleration into this next part because you decided that you just tired. You're tired, you're weary. And trust me, I am not trying to act like this is easy. It is not easy. People have lost jobs. People have lost loved ones. People are sick. People are tired. There's a lot of things going on. But God is saying to us tonight, stay the course. Stay the course. I got you. Stay the course. Stay the course. Let me show you some things. Let me work some things out. Let me still bless you. Bless you because, see, God can bless even in tribulation. God can bless even when it's dark and bleary. And that's a prime example in Jeremiah chapter 29. And this is where the Israelites were in captivity. And God told them, he said, yep, you're going to be in captivity because of your disobedience. You're going to be in captivity for 70 years. 70 years. And this is what he says. He says, thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. He told them, hear me now, this is in captivity. He says, build you houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in peace thereof you shall have peace. Oh, glory to God. He's telling them, yes, you are going to be in captivity for 70 years. He said, but even in that, he says, I want you to build you some houses, he said, and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit from the garden. He said, take you some wives and have some sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters. He's talking about the seed bearing seed. Oh, hallelujah. That you may be increased there and not diminished. He said, and then he says, pray for the peace of the place where I'm taking you, that you will have peace. So what is he saying? He's saying that even in captivity, he wants us to live. He still wanted them to live. And not only that, as he says, that because I brought you there, he says, pray for the city, pray for the place that I have you. And he says, and then you'll be able to see what peace can come out of that. See, you can have peace. And I said this on yesterday at church, is that when we had our church service, that I'm talking about that kind of peace that surpasses all understanding. You know, if you ever had a situation where, you know, you're going through and you know you're going through, but for some reason you got this peace. You know, you even looking at yourself like, girl, do you understand what's going on? But that's the kind of peace that God can give in the midst of all hell breaking loose. God could have you sit in the middle of chaos, but there's a peace that will be in you because of the God that you serve. And he said, I want you to live. And let me say this right here, is that we may not be able to do a lot of things that we used to do, but God is saying that you can live, just do it differently. Do it differently, but still, you can still live. You can still do some things that bring you pleasure, except that you got to do it with wisdom and you got to do it with caution, not to throw caution to the wind. Another benefit of staying the course, know that God is working things out for you. Oh, glory to God. You may not be thinking like, I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know how my family going to make it. I don't know what to do with these kids. I don't know what my marriage. I just don't understand. I don't understand. But God says that you don't know that I'm working things out for you behind the scenes. I am appropriating things for you. I am giving you favor. I'm creating things for you. There are things along your road that has already been planted for you. And as you stay the course, that you will be able to intercept the things that I have for you. A prime example, talking about God working behind the scenes and working things out for you. Remember in the book of Esther, there was Mordecai and Haman. And Haman was the one that was stuck on himself, and he wanted everybody to bow down to him. And Mordecai was like, no, that ain't going to happen. You know, I'm serving my God. I'm not serving you. So Haman was mad. He was like, mad. How dare he reject me like that? And so Haman was able to talk to the king, and there was a decree that went out that said that now all the Jews were going to be executed, and Haman even had a gallows that was built so they could hang Mordecai. And so, but, oh, glory, he said that God said, I'm working things out for you. So here they are. You know, the king one night, the king can't sleep. And I just thought this was just so awesome. The king can't sleep. The king he can't sleep. And so he asked the servant to go get him the chronicles so that he could read. The chronicles are probably had a lot of chronicles, a lot of books that were history books that kind of held all the things that had happened in the palace. And so the servant comes and gives him a book, one of the books of the Chronicles, and he opens the book. But he opens the book where it tells him that there were two guys that was plotting his death, but Mordecai was the one that overheard the conversation, and he was able to get word back to the king. And so they have actually executed those two guys, but the king didn't get any harm. Oh, hallelujah. So the king asks, he says, did we ever do anything for that guy called Mordecai that saved my life? And the servant said, no, you know, we never honored him. We never did anything. So the king's thinking like, okay, what can we do? So he says to the servant, he says, is anybody down in the outward court? And he said, yeah. He says, Mordecai is down there. He said, no, he said, Haman's down there. He said, let me talk to Haman. So he calls Haman. He says, Haman, what would you do for somebody to celebrate them that did a good deed for the king? Well, now Haman is like really excited. He's like, oh, he must be talking about me. He must be talking about me. So he says, for the man whom the king delighted to honor, let the royal apparel be brought, which the king used to wear, and the horse that the king rides upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head, and let his apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man whom the king delighted to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, thus it shall be done to the man whom the king delighted to honor. Then the king said to Haman, make haste and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew that sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. Then Haman took the apparel and the horse and arrayed Mordecai and brought him on horseback through the street of the city and proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighted to honor. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. That's some good stuff. Here it was that Haman was trying to destroy the Jews and Mordecai. But in the middle of the night, in the middle of the night, he gave the king some unrest. And then of all the books that the king could have read, he read this particular volume of the Chronicles that talked about Mordecai. Don't tell me what God won't do. Tell me what God won't do when we stay the course. Because Mordecai was like, I'm not serving you, Haman. I'm not bowing down to you. I'm going to stay the course. Oh, glory to God. So right now, there are things that God is appropriating for you. There are favors that you know nothing about. There are people who are waiting for you to arrive at a certain place to assist you. There is favor that God has for you. There are provisions that God has for you. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. So we've got to stay the course, guys. We have got to stay where God tells us to stay so that we can reap the benefits of what God has for us. God is a good God, and he's a faithful God. I'm looking down at some of the points that I have had, and I have one more point, but I don't want to rush through this. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to pull up right here, and I'm going to do part two on next month because I don't want to rush through staying the course. So it's so important that we stay the course, that we can be all that God has called us to be. Stay the course. It's not easy. It's not easy. It's not easy. There is devastation upon the earth right now. But God still remains faithful, and God is going to see us through. But we must stay the course. Do not just give wind to your flesh. Do not give wind to your emotions. But we talked tonight. We said that how can I stay the course? I stay the course by being in relationship with God. I look at all the things that God has done. One of the things that he told me, and I shared with the church, is what he said, I want the people to write a, and this is going to be your assignment for this month, write down until we get together on next month. He said that there is a self-proclaimed resume. And what is a self-proclaimed resume? A self-proclaimed resume is all the things that you have learned and are doing different. See, sometimes we can see what's not good. We can see what's not right. But if we would sit before God and we could see and write down and jot down all the things that God has done during this time, how he's kept us, how he has revealed to us some things in our marriages, how we have seen some things about our children and how God is teaching us how to minister to our children, how to pray for our children, how to teach our children how to pray. God is showing us some things about us, how we have been so busy before this season. We've been so busy that we have missed some things. Some things got past us, but because we have had to sit still for a season, that God is showing us those things that we missed. So make you a list. I want you to make a list and title it Self-Proclaimed Resume, and it will include all the things that you have learned and are doing different, and you will see you in a different light. So when you think this is horrible and it's bad, and yes, it's not easy and it's not pretty, but there are some things that God has shown you about you, has shown you about your family, has even given you visions. He's given you proclamations. He's given you some things that will be forthcoming. I see some things in my own life that I understand now why it couldn't happen when I thought it was going to happen, because it would have been out of sync and I would have been out of place. I needed to be where I'm at now for various reasons, and I understand that a little bit more. I understand some things about myself. I understand some things about the church and what God is calling for us. Who would have thought in January and February that we would be here? Here we're doing Facebook Live. We did number 18 on yesterday. Who would have thought that? But the Almighty God was preparing us ahead of time. So there's some things that we have learned. There's some technical things that you have learned. There are some emotional things that you have learned. There may be some things that you put premium on that now you understand, as Solomon said, but vanity of vanities, that you're no longer putting a star next to some things when God said that, but that's not what I have for your life. So I want you guys during this next month or at least the next week, I want you to do a self-proclaimed resume. I want you to write down all the things that God has shown you, how good God has been to you, and you will see that even though this has been hard and this has not been easy, but God has been faithful, and God has done a work in us that we cannot jump ship now, that we've got to stay the course so that we can be all that he's called us to be, that even in the midst of us, in the midst of now, God is still telling us that we have to live and we have to become, and when we get antsy, we can take our seat of faith and sit until we're strengthened. Oh, glory to God. So, Father God, we just thank you tonight. Yeah, God, we bless you, God, and we honor you, Lord God. And we give you praise and we give you glory, God. We thank you, oh God, for your word tonight, God, telling us, God, to stay the course, Lord God, to listen for your instructions and to stay in the lane in which you have already carved out for us, not to jump ship, but God, do the things that you have already shown us to do, to even have gotten us to this place. So we thank you for that tonight. I pray tonight that, God, that you would continually reveal unto your people, Father God, the things that you have done, the lessons that they've learned, and I pray that, God, that faith, Father God, will be the seed that they send in, that they may be strengthened, not only them, but me too, God. I pray that we be strengthened for the journey ahead. Now, God, we thank you for all the wonderful things, God, that you are still doing, God. We thank you, oh, God, for the peace that surpasses understanding, God. We thank you, oh, God, that there's still more. It's more, God, that you have for us. And we just pray tonight in the name of Jesus. We touch and agree that, Father God, that you are still God, you're still faithful, and, God, that we're going to stay the course, we're going to believe you, and we're going to trust you, and that, God, that this too shall pass. It shall pass. It shall pass, God. We believe it, God. We believe you, God. And we ask that, God, that you know everything about it, God. So we trust you, God. You know the time is associated with this, God. And so we thank you, Lord God, and we bless you, God. I pray, God, even now in the name of Jesus, that, God, you would bless these, your people, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Well, glory to God, hallelujah. Oh, God, we just bless God tonight. So I pray that you guys have been blessed. I pray that this is a time that if you don't know Jesus Christ and you have not asked him to take your life over, that you can do that right now, tonight. You can do that tonight, that you can say to God that I need my life changed. I don't know how to stay the course. I keep jumping in, I jump out, I get antsy, I get fearful. But I'm telling you tonight that God can take your life and make it new. He can strengthen you to be able to stand for you and your family. So I pray that you would just say that, God, I ask for forgiveness for my sins, and I ask that you would help me to make you my priority, and that you will help me stay the course. Show me where I need to be and where I need to stay, and I will honor you for it. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So if you're on the broadcast tonight and you've asked him to do that, I ask that you would find, you know, hit me up on Facebook, send me an email to let me know that it was you so that I can send you some information for your new life and your new journey. So don't forget, you can join us on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, Facebook Live for our worship service. You can also join us for Bible study via Zoom audio on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. You can go to our Facebook page to get the information for that as well. So I pray that you guys be blessed. Thank you for joining me again this evening. Join me next month and invite some family and friends. Have a great week. Stay close, stay safe, and be blessed. Now hold for the final words, and God bless you, God bless you, God bless you.
We thank you for joining us on the Lifeline broadcast and pray you've been blessed. Again, our church is Rehoboth Family Life Center, located at 17900 Queen Anne Road, Upper Marlboro, Maryland, 20774. Apostle Jones would love to hear from you. She can be reached via Apostle S. Jones at RehobothFLC.org or by dialing 1-877-354-6082. Until next month's broadcast, good evening and God bless.